The solution is simple. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. The solution is simple. So often, we like to make things complex. We like to make things so intricate that it is difficult to understand. We like to make things sound like they are very, very deep. We like to make things sound like we have to go to all the great psychiatrists and the great psychologists and the great philosophers and the great metaphysicians, the great medical doctors, the great scientists, to find out what makes the world go round, to find out what makes things happen the way they do. And when we research it, we find it all to be very simple. We find it all to be very easy and very wonderful. But we do not do that to ourselves. We try to make it very complex. But the solution is really quite simple. Think about it. Everything that we have ever done has been really quite simple. We have known from the beginning that our thought is an object, our thought is a thing, and every thought that we have bears fruit, and it is out of the thought alone that all things manifest. It is out of the thought alone that all things come forth. Now, we like to say that things come out of chemical bonding. We like to say that things come out of the complex arrangement of cells and genes and chromosomes. We like to say that things come out of the complexity of life. But really, when you get right down to it, you have a very simple sperm and an egg getting together and bringing forth the magnificent being of a child, of a human. What a magical, what a marvelous thing. And you'd think it should be quite complex, but yet it's quite simple. The ability of the sperm and the egg to bring forth a human being is so simple, so uncomplex, but yet, now scientists will go in there and they will study the complexity of it. They'll study how it is the chromosomes and the genes and it is the enzymes and it is all of the activities that are going on and it is the muscles and it is the nerves and it is all these things. But yet, in truth, it was purely a thought in the beginning. We used to joke about you weren't even a thought in your mother's mind. You weren't even a thought in your father's mind when I was going around doing things. And what we're saying is that sperm and the egg hadn't even considered getting together for you. Now, they might have got together for other people, but for you, they hadn't even thought of getting together. Now, when does a sperm and egg think of getting together? Well, when people have a relationship. Now, why do people have a relationship? They have a relationship because they feel a sensitivity toward one another. Or do they really? Or is there an urge for that life beingness that wants to express itself in just that particular family, in just that particular way, for just that long or short a time as it lives in that family's experience? Now, you say, well, you're trying to make something simple where it really is quite complex. And I'm saying, we don't understand it, and so we call it complex. And the more and more that we understand these things, the less and less complex it becomes. The solution to all is very, very simple. All is purely a thought. Yes, all is purely a thought. Now, do we have a thought that we hold, that we retain consistently enough in our consciousness that we demonstrate it in our life? We cannot create something just by holding it, just by demonstrating it, just by having it in our mind. But we have whatever we create in our life, whatever we bring forth in our life, we have that experience because it is our most predominant thought, our most predominant idea. Now, if you were to be brought up to be a scientist, you might be in a scientific community. You might be in a scientific home. You might be with parents who are very scientific. You might be with brothers and sisters who are geniuses in this particular area. And your parents might have nothing to do with it, because you might go and circulate in a group of friends who are scientific oriented, and it might be something contrary to what your, but your parents brought you up in their environment, and that environment had the opportunity for the other environment to be brought forth in your life. Now, all people in Switzerland are not clockmakers, and yet we think about the Swiss clocks and the Swiss accuracy and the Swiss perfection and this and that. And now, all people in Germany are not scientists, although we think of the German community as having an extremely fine intellect. And we do not find that all Italians are artists or musicians. We do not find that all the French people are lovers. We like to say these certain things in this certain way because we like to put a label on it. And when we put a label on it, what are we doing? Well, we are just saying that that is what we think about them. Now, what do you think about them? Excuse me, what do you think about your life? What do you think about your choice of yourself? Are you going to make something complex out of your world, out of your thinking system, or are you going to make it quite simple? Now, you make it simple by keeping it in a very easy, beautiful, simple way. How do you keep it in an easy, beautiful, simple way? Well, you keep it in an easy, beautiful, simple way by merely recognizing what it is that you would like to have for yourself. Now, a musician doesn't necessarily know that they are a musician, yet everything they do in their life draws them toward the musical community. It draws them toward the musical expression which they are going to be doing in their life. They are brought into this by some magical chord, by some magical magnet, you might say, that brings them into this wonderful thing. And in this movie, The Secret, they say that there is some inexorable drawing upon the human being toward whatever their ultimate being is going to be. Well, quite likely, quite likely. But what is it really that it's all about? Well, what it's all about is thought. What it's all about is thought. We have parents who want their children to be professional people, who want them to be doctors and lawyers, and who want them to do all sorts of interesting things. And the children themselves have no desire in that direction at all. But because their parents want them to do that, because their parents expect them to do that, and because they want to do everything they can to please their parents, because they love their parents, and they love them with an unreasonable love, but they love them, and they want to please them. And so they become a professional person where it might not be something they wanted to do. Now, how did they become that professional person? Because that was the predominant thought in their parents' mind, and that was the predominant thought in their parents' mind for them. And so they brought that forth. Now, I take umbrage greatly with the medical profession's request to know the medical history of the family. And they say, oh, your family has had cancer, so therefore you will have a possibility of having cancer in a greater level than if they weren't cancer-oriented in your other family members. and oh, it goes back to your aunt and your great aunt and your great great aunt, and it goes back to distant relatives, and it goes back to, well, hey, how do people who have these distant relatives and who have these distant things going on in their life, how do they have this change take place? How do they ever live longer? Now, we're living longer now than we did years ago. And when did that new thought take place in our mind that we're going to live longer? And when, if it is true that some of these Bible characters or people in history of the world lived longer or shorter lives, in Jesus' time they're supposed to live about 30 years, and in Bible times they say Methuselah lived many, many years, thousands of years, and where, how long did he really live? And what were they recording the data that they were recording? And they say that God created the world in 6 days or 7 days. Seventh day he rested. And, well, how long were those days? What were those days recording? Were those days instances, just an instant? Because truly, if the infinite creative mind can bring forth whatever it can bring forth, it doesn't need 24 hours, it doesn't need a day in our length, it doesn't need more than an instant. And in the flash of an eye, we say. And what is the flash of an eye? It depends on who's flashing it. One person might flash their eyes quite rapidly, another person might flash their eyes sort of gently and slowly, and some people might flash their eyes at a great time length between, and they keep their eyes open for a long time without closing them, without flashing them, without shutting them. How interesting. And yet, who is to set the priority? Who is to set the way that this is to be done? All is thought. We can chase all of the dramas and all of the magic and all of the wisdom of the world, and it all comes back to thought. And who is going to think that thought? Who's going to think the thought? We have our Stephen Hawking over in Great Britain. And what is he doing over there? What sort of thing is he doing? He is thinking thoughts. Now, he doesn't have the opportunity to read a great deal. He doesn't have the opportunity to do many things. He has only the great opportunity of living in his consciousness. And as he lives in his consciousness and he brings forth the wisdom and the genius that lay within him, he is considered to be one of the world's greatest scientists. Einstein, too, was one of the world's greatest scientists. And if the truth were known, you might wonder what Einstein read, what sort of books he studied, what sort of things he was concentrating on. Or was he indeed concentrating on his own inner thought? Did he have the ability, as many great people do, of just looking at or putting his hand on or putting his head on a book and instantly absorbing everything that's in it? Or did he know it all before he even was absorbing? Did he know everything that was in that book? Because they are indeed just thoughts. And they are thoughts in the universal mind. And he is the universal mind, and you are the universal mind, and I am the universal mind. And we can turn to the universal mind for all knowledge and all wisdom. We try to make it seem difficult to remember everything, to know everything. And, of course, the word remember is a misnomer there, because we know everything. We don't remember it. We don't remember that we knew it. We know it. To remember that we knew it, we put it in a context. We put it in a position of relationship to other ideas and other thoughts. But to know thought and use it however we choose without any other relationship is a wonderful thing. We oftentimes say, now isn't that an interesting idea? I had never thought of using that idea in that way. And this is very true. We never thought of using these solutions in that way. And it is all so very, very, very simple and so very wonderful. Now, my suggestion to me and to everyone in my thinking world, is that we begin to recognize that within us we do have all knowledge. We do have the universal mind in us. Our brain receives out of the universal mind whatever our brain is allowed to put through the filtering process. And the filtering process is made by I don't know, I don't understand, it's something new to me, it's confusing, it's complex. And a new filtering system we could easily institute in our own thinking is the filtering system that says, I know that I know that I know. The filtering system that says, oh, yes, I understand it. Yeah, that's very interesting. I think I'll use that in a new context, in a new direction. I will take those ideas and bring them forth as a new understanding, a new way of dreaming about something. Yes, I think I will. I think I will indeed. Like I tell you the story about the scientist talking about the little atom who's all alone in the universe. And he was all alone, therefore how could he be lonely? That's all he ever was. But we put him in the human frame. We sort of juxtaposition the atom from the scientific framework into the human framework. And then we say he has emotions and he has attitudes. Well, an atom has no emotions or attitudes unless we give it to it. And if we give it to it, that's wonderful. And if we don't give it to it, that's wonderful too. But whatever it is that you would like to think about, that is what you demonstrate in your life. Now ask yourself today, what is it that you would like to think about? What is it that is important to you? What is that is fun for you? What is it that you want to have as something real in your world? And the moment you start thinking about it, all sorts of, so to speak, magical thoughts you had not given much credence to before, all sorts of magical, wonderful, dramatic, dynamic, interesting thoughts pop up in your mind and want you to try them on for size and see if they fit. And so you take these thoughts and you say, that is interesting. Hey, that's kind of fun. Oh, that'll blow their mind when I tell my friends about this, when I tell my coworkers about this. My goodness sakes, they'll say, are you off your rocker? Do you realize that you're in another area that really doesn't work there? And then I'll say, well, here are my conclusions. Hey, I've been working on those conclusions now for the last 10 years, and you come up with it in 1 second. You know, just pop, out she comes. Well, I come up with it because I know that thoughts are things. I know that everything is simple. I know that all I have to do is think about anything, and I bring it forth in my world. That's all I have to do. And I do that. Kind of fun, isn't it? Kind of exciting, too. You know, the solution is simple. And are you willing to make it simple for you? I am for me. And you know, it's exciting. It's exciting to realize that I have torn away the shroud that says it's complex and replaced it with a realization that it is done now, right now, this second. As I think about it, the allness of the wisdom of the universe is mine now, and I know it completely and truly. It's exciting, isn't it? It is for me, and I live in a very wonderful world. I love you eternally.